a special Deranged podcast.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. I'm Ben.
And I'm Matt.
Okay, so this one we just kind of thought we'd stick something in before the new year, just talk about things that we've seen recently.
Well, there's been a lot of stuff coming out, hasn't there?
That's it, yeah. And I think we'll just have a quick sort of roundup of general things going on and perhaps even look to see what's kicking off next year as well, anything that we're excited about.
And also to bang on about maybe some exciting Christmas stuff that
is
out and about and floating around. And you know, I always like to get at least one cool thing for Christmas every year. So.
Yeah, that's it. And
so we'll talk about that.
We'll look at potential presents.
For the genre fan.
Yeah, that's it. If you've got any sick fucks in your family who like the stuff we do, then yeah.
Ideal presents.
Exactly. All
right, we'll kick off with what sort of recent Blu-ray and DVD releases then, yeah?
Yeah, cool. And I know you lent me recently the Exorcist Blu-ray.
I don't know, it was one of them where, you know, I'd never seen the version that's never been seen before.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was quite interested. I watched that first, as I'd never seen it, and it had the extra scene in with like Reagan in the hospital at the beginning, and it obviously it's got the spider walk sequence in, and then a little bit slightly different towards the end as well. So there's like three major differences in that version, but I still prefer the original version.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good to see that version because I'd never seen it, and obviously it looked kind of wicked on Blu-ray. I think a lot of the time when I personally, when I bung these Blu-rays and I'm like, yeah, what's the difference? And I have to go back and check my DVD and... Yeah, I can always see every time that it is an improvement definitely made. So
there is always a few that kind of stand out, and there's some way you do hardly notice the difference.
Yeah, exactly. And again, that's the whole thing with Blu-ray. It really is. It's a different thing. It's a different transition, like it was from VHS to DVD, where you know it was just a massive difference in all the extras and commentaries and picture quality and all that kind of thing. Whereas with Blu-ray, it's a little bit of a less severe step between the formats, I feel.
It is.
So, it's always a difficult one. It's always like try before you buy, I guess, and see what it is. But I certainly thought it was worth buying the Exorcist Blu-ray. I thought it was really good. All the extras were similar to the box set that came out on DVD a couple of years ago, but it had that extra footage from behind the scenes, which no one's ever seen before. What did you think of that?
Yeah, that was quite good, and it gave you quite a good insight into the actual filming. I thought what was interesting was talking about the physicality of some of the set pieces they did. And it's quite interesting to think now how easy a lot of the stunts were that they pulled then would be to pull off now.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes you think, well, you know, because it still looks a part, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think what's quite interesting about that in itself is I think for a long time they were quite loath to put that footage out there into the public domain and to give away how they did a lot of the stuff.
Yeah.
You know, at this day and age with DVD and Blu-ray, where you know a film comes out and within 6 months there's like comes out and there's like an explanation of how they did it and everything, they don't really have that chance to kind of build that sort of momentum and also kind of get into the whole public psyche like a film that you know was on rotation for like a year at the cinema would do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So we're dealing. So again, I quite like not knowing how certain films are done, and Exorcist is really one of them films where you buy into it.
Yeah.
And you can almost forget it's a film. It's a weird kind of experience of The Exorcist when you watch it. And, you know, whether you've got a particular religious background or not, you know, it's not like a movie you're watching or having an experience when you're kind of viewing that film, aren't you?
Yeah, that's it. I'm not religious in any way, shape or form, but it's still one of those that I still find quite unsettling anyway.
Yeah.
And I always thought, you know, people who say that The Exorcist isn't a scary thing, well...
Scares me, man.
Yeah,
perhaps less now than it did when I first saw it, but yeah, it's still a scary film.
But that's it, you know, if you imagine perhaps even somebody with quite deeply Catholic tendencies seeing something like that, you know, because it is a well executed film as
well. Absolutely, yeah, it is. There's, I mean, without a doubt, it is an absolute classic, and it should be heralded as it is. In terms of the Blu-ray, it's a bonus because you get all that extra footage.
Yeah.
And you get, you know, a kind of fantastic kind of presentation of both sort of versions of the film and that. So I would say it's worth a double dip.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're a fan of the film, it's worth it. And if you hadn't bought it because of that second version that came out in 2000 or whatever, then obviously it's worth it for that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, Exorcist, definitely worth a Christmas purchase on Blu-ray, I think.
Thank you. somewhere between science and superstition, there is another world. The world of darkness. Nobody expected it. Nobody believed it. And nothing could stop it.
What came out on DVD, which had been like, people have been banging on about, me as well, about this film, which is A Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. Originally in magazines like Horror Hound and later on in the year Rue Morgue were talking about this film coming out, and eventually it did. It's an old school American TV thriller, horror sort of kind of mystery creepy type film, not even a horror film. It's got a real cult following, this film. I've always enjoyed it. I don't know, had you seen it before?
I'd saw it on the video you lent me when you got it all that
those
time
years
ago.
Yeah.
Which I can't remember that much about it. I can remember being a bit bored by it, if I'm honest.
Yeah, but the pacing issues this time around when I watched it were, you know, it's definitely one of those that you sort of have to invest in. It's not like a roller coaster ride or anything like that.
Yeah.
But you're perhaps right in terms of the pacing of the film is probably a little bit, you know, tawdry compared to what we're used to now. But the essential elements of this story, which is about a guy who, you know, he's a little bit backward, and he spends a lot of his time playing with a little girl, you know, out in the garden and stuff, and fields and what have you. And certain residents don't like the fact that he's hanging out with this little child and playing with her. And something happens to the little girl, and they assume that this guy has done something negative to her, and he's caused, you know, caused the death of this girl, and they go out on a witch hunt and try and kill him, and he ends up hiding in a scarecrow, and then obviously they find him, and then they do what they do to him. So that's sort of the first part of the film, and then the second part of the film is retribution is sought, and we don't know who from. It's a sort of mystery, you know, it could be a ghost, it could be a person, and you never quite know until all sort of is revealed at the end of the film. So it's got a really kind of creepy atmosphere to it. I've always liked it. if you like sort of scarecrow horror films, which you sort of do, don't you?
Yeah, I love scarecrow horror films. They're great.
So I
do need to revisit that film. And it was quite interesting because I read about it in Rue Morgue recently. The director, he was talking about it, and he had no idea as to the sort of following this film had got until fairly recently,
that's
I think.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm sure that was one of the things that spurned on the DVD.
The DVD,
really.
So, again, it's another one that's certainly worth putting your hand in your pocket and picking up that, like, the Scarecrow on DVD.
Is that just a Region 1 release?
It's a Region 1 release, but I think it might even be Region 3, I'm not sure. But yeah, it's definitely out in the States, and it's worth a purchase, I definitely feel.
Well, they think it's a scarecrow.
Harlan?
What now?
Have you started planting?
What?
I said, have you started planting?
What's the matter with you? Can't you see I'm busy? You ever see me planting this time of year?
No.
Well, why do you ask a lame brain thing like that?
Well, I just thought it's kind of strange. I mean, if you're not planting, why would you put up a scarecrow?
Another thing, which is another double dip on Blu-ray, and you have to weigh up whether it's worth it or not, was Psycho. Did you get round to seeing Psycho on Blu-ray?
I know you've lent it to me, but I haven't watched it yet.
Okay. Save it to me. Yeah, in terms of picture quality, it really is a step up to see this film in HD and everything. It looks absolutely fantastic. Just little details, like, you know, I mean, there's a shot where obviously we see Mother walking past the window, and, you know, it's always been done quite well and it's quite brightly lit, but on Blu-ray, you know, you really get to see this figure, you know, reaching past and stuff. And just lots of other details. I've seen this film millions of times. It's just a classic. I actually, on my Christmas list, which brings us on to presents already, I've got a Bates Motel sign, which is what I want. It's a neon sign, and it says vacancies or no vacancies.
Oh, wicked.
To stick in the office. So, you know, I'm a big fan of Psycho. And I personally again think this is another Blu-ray that you should get if you were kind of thinking about it. It's pretty much the definitive sort of version, you know, released. They're not going to find anything else now.
There's
a really good retrospective documentary on there. There's a whole plethora of extras which are, you know, certainly worth checking out. So I definitely recommend the Psycho Blu-ray without a doubt. I don't think anyone needs me to give a plot summary on this one.
No.
I think we all know it.
No, we've all seen it.
Yeah, it's just whether or not it's worth that purchase. But I think it is. I certainly think it's an improvement over the previous DVD packages.
Yeah, I think it could well be worth, like you're saying about the picture quality, it could well be worth for that alone. Because I'm sure it's one of these films that probably does really benefit from being really
tired. Yeah, well, you forget because everyone's seen this film a million times on TV, and you accept a certain level of like, oh, it's old school.
Yeah.
It's 50 years old now, you know, this film. But when you see what they can do with it, with a new kind of like master of this film, it's really quite incredible. They've done a new audio for it as well, which is, you know, 5:1 on an original like mono.
Yeah.
So, and they've, you know, so they've kind of added and embellished a lot of stuff, and you know, they've got stuff going left to right and stuff on the audio and things like that.
That'd be nice seeing that sequence where Janet Leigh's driving.
Yeah, exactly,
and all that.
And there's loads of stuff like that. Yeah, that really benefits from a really good bombastic Herbman score.
Yeah.
So many reasons, I think, to ultimately purchase this. And what they don't have in terms of extras, you know, about kind of the whole Psycho franchise, which currently someone else does. Yeah, so it brings me on to the Psycho Legacy DVD. Have you managed to see that at all?
Yeah, I know. That's another one you've lent me, so I'll have to give that a watch. Have you watched it?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, it's quite... in terms of a documentary, it's interesting, because it's always interesting if you're talking about Psycho. They've got like Jeff Fahey talking about being in like the third one, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, I've always been a fan of this franchise. We've done a vlog ourselves.
Yeah.
On the Psycho franchise, so you know, I think it's a really good franchise of films actually within the sort of horror kind of genre. Really, they're all quite different, and this documentary sort of kind of goes into all four films. And you've got like Mick Garris talking about the fourth one, and a lot of people don't know is that Anthony Perkins actually directed the third one.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And then it was it Frankenheimer did the sequel.
No, it was second one.
Pretty sure it's the guy who did Road Games, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's not John Frankenheimer. It's somebody else.
Yes.
It'll come to me.
Me too.
And then the fourth one was Mick Garris, wasn't
it?
Yeah, that's right.
He's the Masters of Horrors.
Masters of Sequels. Masters of Horror Sequels.
Yeah, I've got a lot of time for Psycho 4. I think some really interesting stuff going on.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting take on it.
Yeah, it is. And it shows you the whole kind of prequel idea and the relationship with his mother and everything. It's obviously got Olivia Hussey in. You know, so, you know, plenty of reasons why to like that film. But in terms of this documentary, you know, it's not the best quality. Some of the sound, it looked like it'd been done on a handycam, and some of the sound issues were a bit...
Right.
So, though debatable as to how broadcast quality this documentary was.
Yeah.
It's certainly worth it, you know, because what you do on getting the package is you get two DVD, and there's a lot of extra stuff on it, and there's a lot more of a candid sort of interviews with various people and stuff, so... All in all, the package is worth getting. I think it costs you less than a tenner to get it shipped, so it's certainly worth it. But because it's quite reasonably priced, I think again it's another one that's worth getting hold of.
But just a bit of a shame about the quality
of the actual documentary. You know, perhaps if there had been a little bit more money put up, then maybe they could have done something with a slightly better quality. It's certainly worth it. Another DVD that came out, which I haven't managed to get hold of yet, but I do know it's out there, is Madman Mars.
Yeah.
Has had a 30th anniversary special edition release. So that's quite interesting.
Well, yeah.
I don't know how many people like Madman Mars, but it's got its place. Again, I watched it recently and it's a little bit slow.
That's another one I haven't seen for a long time. But it's one of those that whenever you say the title, I always picture that cover.
Yeah, that's right, it's got a great cover. It's only really up until Wrong Turn if they sort of use that imagery with that sort of guy with an axe silhouetted and whatever.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But it's got Galen Ross from Dawn of the Dead in.
Oh, right, okay.
And a lot of people do like Madman Mars. I don't mind it, I think it's alright, you know, I mean, I kind of watch it on a creepy evening and that'll do. But this DVD apparently has got some sort of retrospective documentary on it as well. So
okay, that'd be quite interesting.
So maybe we'll hunt that down in the new year and let you know about that. But essentially, I didn't see that. All right, let's move on. I guess to the biggie, really, the biggest sort of under the radar release that horror fans should all be aware about already. And if not, then you'll probably want to get hold of one of these. Is the Video Nasties box set?
Yeah.
The Definitive Guide. I fucking love this box set.
It was.
It was really good. What did you think?
Yeah, I did. I thought the documentary was interesting, and it was something where you thought you do already kind of know everything on the subject, but it was still interesting, I think, because it talks a lot more about the legality and the legal side of things and what's happening there. Then it was kind of a bit more interesting, right? And it was a lot more in depth in that side of things. So you kind of really got a good idea as to what was happening, rather than, oh yeah, X amount of video shops were raided, this guy was prosecuted. It was more about the sort of whys and wherefores, and then arguing the toss about how perhaps film is seen as art, and there was a lot going on in the documentary.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I thought it was a really interesting documentary. All the people that sort of took part in it are people that I kind of respect anyway. You know, there's a lot of British sort of genre writers in there, and it was good to put a face to people like Brad Stevens, who we've read for years in Dark Side. Stephen Thrower's another one. You know, we've got his books. I mean, I blame Stephen Thrower for taking a year of my life.
Yeah.
With the sort of American exploitation book, the
Nightmare USA.
Yeah, definitely. To get through that took a lot of time. And
yeah.
I loved every minute of that book.
Yeah.
So it was really good to put a face to these sort of people. And, it was really good to hear their personal sort of reflections on some of these films.
Yeah,
as well.
Because it seemed like a lot of them, when they were talking about the individual films...
Mm.
They were talking about ones that they were particularly favourites.
Yeah, it seems like they're giving the right people the right titles. What we should explain here is, bottom line, it's a 3-DVD box set that's come out from Nucleus, which is Jake West's company. Jake West is a kind of indie filmmaker in the UK. I guess his latest film was Doghouse, which a lot of people might have probably seen.
Yeah, I think that was actually, I was just reading that, crossed over to Fantasia Festival.
Okay, right.
So I think it's actually got a bit of exposure abroad as well.
Okay, and he did Evil Aliens as well, didn't he? You know, and you've got to give this guy respect. He's always kind of doing these films over in the UK, when we know how hard it is to make these horror films over here. And obviously on a sideline, he does sort of like the film distribution via his sort of Nucleus company, and they've obviously brought out this documentary. So what you get is, you get on disc one, you get the documentary, which is about 70 minutes of, you know, people that really know their stuff on the whole Video Nasties thing, talking about the kind of the whole thing that happened in 1984 with the sort of classification of videos. And it's a really, on its own, a really informative, interesting, well-produced.
Yeah.
I love that opening montage of all the sort of titles, all speeded up, you know, kind of really, really nicely done.
Yeah.
Good editing job, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So in terms of production, the documentary in itself is really good. But not only do you get that, you get two other discs as well, which is...
Yeah, so
disc two,
Disc two is the 39 videos that were on the final DPP list that actually got banned.
So there's trailers for all these.
For these.
And then introductions as well.
Yeah. So actually, I don't know if you have watched the full 39.
I have, yeah.
It's about, what, 3-4 hours long?
4 hours, mate, And it flies by.
It does.
You think, well, I'm not going to get through this. And you just, I don't know, if you've got a particular interest in this, you know, you sit down with a drink and watch these guys babble on about these titles. It's really interesting. I think there's a couple, maybe like Alan Bryce, you know, always had his particular spin.
Yeah.
On how he was going to kind of talk about these titles, which I found really entertaining.
Yeah.
And also, like you said, there's Stephen Thrower as well.
Yeah, Stephen Thrower is really good at
at kind of dissecting these films and giving his own personal kind of viewpoint on them. And obviously, you've got an old favourites as well, like Kim Newman.
Yeah, Alan Jones.
Every single title he talked about, he made entertaining and, you know, really fun, didn't it? Do you know what I mean?
That's what I think is good about these guys, is that they're all kind of charismatic in their own own way, and that makes for a good presence.
And also, you know, they've talked to people that were there at the time and remember these films coming out.
Yeah.
You know, and some of them, like Alan Jones and, you know, Alan Bryce and stuff, did movie reviews for these films as they came out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they're really big in the sort of video world, and, you know, kind of so it was their thing. You know, for us, it was like, you know, something that if we personally experienced maybe when we were 6 or 7 by a couple of nefarious titles, and then pursued later on when we were sort of like, you know, 15, 16,
yeah,
wasn't it,
exactly.
Really, you know what I mean? So yeah, so all in all, I think it's certainly worth getting this DVD box set. And I would actually, because we're doing our Christmas special, call it the sort of DVD release of the year, really.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, it certainly gets the deranged seal of approval. And only 15 quid as well.
Is it 15 quid?
15
yeah,
quid,
that's
for,
right.
You know, for what is essentially, I think they say 13 hours of entertainment.
Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's certainly 9 or 10, yeah,
yeah.
Definitely, yeah. So all in all, yeah, definitely worth it. What I will say is it's done very well for them. The special edition box set that came out kind of sold out within, I think, a week.
Yeah.
And then basically put out another edition. And what the difference was apparently some art cards for some of the video nasty though.
Okay, watching. Yeah.
So, you know, but, you know, there was only 5,000 or something, so, and they were all pretty much sold, I think. So, it's certainly been quite a good earner for these guys as well. All in all, the ring seal of approval for the Video Nasties definitive box set.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, then what we've had in terms of release, which is again is another disc that I didn't manage to pick up, but I urge everybody to track down this film and check it out. And you've not seen it yet, have you?
No, I haven't yet, no.
Okay, this is a movie called Best Worst Movie. Myself and Wooly went to see it at the Showroom Documentary Film Festival.
Yeah.
I think it was earlier on this year, actually. It's probably the beginning of this year, or maybe even the end
of
last year.
No, end
of
last year, because it's just after
flies.
Celluloid Screen.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So what, November then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so a year ago, pretty much. Best Worst Movie. It's a documentary by a guy who was in a movie years ago called Troll 2. And, yeah, this basically, he was a kid in this movie. He'd never done any acting before. An Italian film crew come to town. To make a movie which is called Troll 2, but doesn't really have anything to do with Troll 1.
Yeah, because I quite enjoyed Troll 1.
Yeah, there's nothing to do with it. Yeah. That was John Carl Buechler or something that directed that.
Yeah,
did the special effect.
Craig T. Nelson in it or something.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right, yeah. So it was basically a rip-off sequel, if I can say that, to Troll, which might have been quite a big movie in his day, I don't know.
Yeah.
But this kid, basically, he did this film and he really enjoyed it this like summer that these Italians came to town. And then he waited for this film to come out and waited for his film to come out and, you know, never came to the cinema. And, you know, when he was a kid, he was a little bit disappointed. And then finally at Christmas, apparently, he got the video.
Yeah.
I think it was a Christmas present from the family or something, and it turned up anyway. And he put this video on, and apparently he was mortified at how bad this film was. And sort of, you know, kind of buried it. Didn't really want to talk about being in it, and it was, you know, a bit disappointing for him. And then obviously he's got older and he's a filmmaker in his own right now, and he went back to kind of assess it and thought, wouldn't it be a great idea if I do a documentary about this film and find everybody now? And so that's basically what the film is a documentary about this guy tracking everyone back from the original shooting of this particularly bad movie. And what transpires is Troll 2 has got a really underground cult following.
Yeah.
People get together and they do Troll 2 screenings at cinemas and stuff. So what ended up happening was they ended up doing sort of Q&As for the film, and the guy's got a little bit of stardom, you know, 25 years after doing this film. And it's all about going to the sort of festival circuit with these guys. And how that sort of kind of affects everything. It doesn't sound like a barrel of laughs, but it is a really, really entertaining film for all the sort of wrong reasons. And it's really cool to see Fregrassi, the Italian filmmaker, kind of shouting at everyone saying that they're dogs. And, you know, it's just brilliant. It's priceless stuff. That's one that I thoroughly recommend you track down. Again, I think when it first came out, it was floating around at about 8 or 9 quid on Amazon and eBay, but I think now it's like 20-something.
Going up, yeah.
So, you know, this is it. Keep an eye out for it and pay a decent price for it, not a silly price for it.
I've heard nothing but good things about that documentary.
It is brilliant, mate. Yeah, honestly, I think once we get it in our hands, I think we should talk a little bit more about it, because it is really good.
Yeah.
All right, well, you can take over now by banging on about Walking Dead.
Yeah, of course, because now we've had the first 6 episodes of The Walking Dead TV series. Frank Darabont wrote and directed, and Gail Ann Hurd produced a TV show for CBS or AMC, one of the channels in America, and I think it's been shown on FX over here. So it stars our very own Andrew Lincoln as well. So that was a nice thing to have, an English guy in the lead of an American TV series. And for those who I know I've mentioned it previously in podcasts, it's based on the Robert Kirkman novels, graphic novels, if you like, and which are, I think there are about 12 or 13 novels in at the moment, so there's quite a lot of material to go out there. And the story just follows the aftermath of a zombie outbreak in the US, and particularly I think around Atlanta and that side of the country. And it follows Andrew Lincoln, who plays a local sheriff, and him tracking down his family and then joining up with various groups of people and just trying to survive on the road and looking for some sort of haven, whilst in the background these hordes of zombies in various places. And really what's nice about certainly the graphic novels and the TV series is that it's a series that is based on human interaction and characters more so than any sort of zombie action.
That's sort of in the background, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very similar to a recent film that's come out, Monsters, which I'll talk about in a bit, where it is more character based and more character orientated than any sort of action in there. Now, the TV series, I've watched all 6 episodes, and I think they're taking a break for the moment. It starts off on a very similar vein to the comic books, and it has...
Well, the first episode is pretty much the first 20 pages of the comic book.
It does actually bring in a new element at the end of the first series, which I think is actually a bit of an improvement, because it was quite a nice little take on the situation that Andrew Lincoln's character's in. And after that, he does start going off in new directions away from the graphic novel.
Well, I've only seen the first two, so obviously the first one is the setup of the situation, pretty much. And you find out who this guy is and the fact that he's trying to find his family, and that's pretty much it, isn't it?
Exactly.
Then the second one is a sort of introduction to the other bunch of characters who are kind of hiding out with a bus, aren't they?
Yeah.
And then we find out certain things about certain characters, which I don't want to give the game away to people that haven't caught up with this yet, but you know, make it interesting, pretty much, kind of twine with his story at the same time, don't they? So what happens in the third one then? What sort of direction are we going with that?
Well, the third one it outlines, well, they end up looking for a place where they think that an antivirus has been developed. And it goes down that sort of route where they're looking for some sort of government setup or government building where they think.
So this is a new thread.
Exactly. So they head over in that direction. To be fair, actually, in between that, there's bits where they go back into a large city, and so the first three, four episodes are very action orientated, whereas towards the end of the series, it does go more into the character-based interaction. And even in the last episode, there's barely any zombies in it at all. So if you're in it for an out-and-out zombie fest, then I think you're going to be slightly disappointed. But that being said, I don't think it should take away from...
It certainly delivers on the zombie front when it does.
Absolutely.
It really is. Obviously the graphic novel, I think, was done by a different artist for the first... two or three.
It was, yeah.
And then it changed to another artist, didn't it? But, you know, regardless of who was doing sort of the illustration of the graphic novel, the sort of look of the zombies was quite distinctive.
Yeah.
And quite old school. And again, I think the sort of KMB and the people that work at KMB have done a really good job sort of making these zombies look as good as they do on paper, on screen.
Yeah, as you always do, and really I think KMB are the guys that people go to now in Hollywood and that side of things for these sorts of productions now. I think they are the stalwarts in there. And
yeah, they are, totally.
Perhaps sadly taken over from where somebody like Tom Savini sat years ago.
Yeah, and equally Tom Savini's far more happier in front of the camera now, isn't he? That seems to be what he wants to produce. I know he's still got his kind of his art schools and his sort of like sculpting schools and stuff like that. But I think him personally, yeah, he wants to do more acting, definitely. But yeah, going back to Walking Dead, I really like it from what I've seen.
Yeah,
I am looking forward to catching up with the other episodes and stuff. I think it's certainly the best sort of intelligent sort of horror TV that we've had for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I don't think there has been anything quite like it for some time now, really. In fact, I struggle to think of the last sort of good horror series that really got into.
I mean, if we're talking about TV, I don't want to deviate too much here, but I don't know if you've been catching. I know I've really enjoyed these sort of the Jimmy McGovern Accused on British TV. It's not particularly a deranged picture, I know, but it certainly needs a bit of hyping because it is. For a long time, I find British TV dramas and stuff quite dull. You know, that's why I've always been more interested in like films or you know, really good sort of American TV. But I think, you know, when we do it well, and I think when Jimmy McGovern's behind it, then it's
a sort of I was just going to say, really, anything that he does is kind of pretty much spot on.
You know, it's going to be good, yeah.
Exactly.
So from a British, on the British side of things, I think for the last 6 weeks, good TV has certainly been The Accused, without a doubt.
Yeah, that and Coronation Street.
Yeah. Yeah, I have not seen that in a long time. I've heard it's been good, though. But, yeah. I'll tell you what else has come out, which we won't talk about yet, because Ben's catching up with this, and I need to catch up with Series 5. But Series 5 of Dexter has been airing as well.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a huge fan of Dexter. We watched all of them back-to-back at the beginning of the year, and we were just waiting for this season to come out. So we're really looking forward to seeing Series 5. You've been watching Series 1
because
I told you, yeah? So what do you think to Series 1, then?
No, it's good. It's good. I'm quite getting into it at the moment.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm trying to watch that and True Blood as well, so
right, yeah.
I've got that to work through. So
yeah, I gave True Blood Series 1 and just couldn't give it any more.
Yeah.
The only one I did, I think there was maybe 3 or 4 episodes in the first season that I really liked, which all happened to be directed by John Dahl.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, I think he's quite a good sort of film and TV maker anyway.
Yeah.
And I think his approach to those episodes was really entertaining, but unfortunately, obviously, you have different directors doing episodes and stuff.
Of course.
And I think a lot of it was just a bit dull for me.
Yeah.
I was kind of waiting for things to move along at a much sort of faster pace.
Yeah, but that's kind of one of the things that I was drawn into about it. I think, again, it's perhaps another one where you're talking about it. It's more about characters and human interaction.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of it, isn't there?
Yeah.
I know my wife's read the books. It was like 6 or 7 books or something. So.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of material there for them to mine for a while. So I think True Blood will definitely be around for a while.
But what I will say about True Blood, I think one of the strong points about it, and probably the same with Dexter as well, is the actors that you've got involved
as
well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Because it's one thing that I think really does stand out about the actors in True Blood. Every one of them really seems to have nailed their part down.
Yeah. Well, and also in Dexter, like you said, the central performance from, what's his name? It's really good. And also, you know, every season they get like somebody in who's like a kind of guest. And they kind of guest star for that season, and they're always really interesting characters in Dexter and stuff. If you're only in season 1, man, you know, it doesn't really kick off till sort of season 2, and season 3 is fantastic.
All right, good stuff.
So there you go, keep trugging along. But yeah, once I've seen the series 5, I'm sure I'll bang on a bit more about that.
Yeah.
But we're not even saying anything to anybody about what Dexter is. I don't know if you know, basically, bottom line, keep it quite quick, he's a sociopathic sort of serial killer. Who happens to work for the police in America, and what he is a sort of a specialist in crime scenes and blood spatters and things like that. So he has a lot of insider knowledge that he uses to sort of take people out, and he uses his own form of judgment to choose who is like, you know, who we should just kind of dispatch and who we shouldn't. His own code,
which
has been passed down by his father, who was a policeman. So that's the bottom line of what he had of the plan each. Week obviously something different happens and it kind of forwards things on. It's a great show. I think out of all the stuff that I've seen over the last few years in terms of like Lost and CSI and a lot of the American sort of big sort of TV shows, Dexter's the one that I've had the most fun with, that I thought was the most. It pushed the envelope a lot. It makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable when you watch it because you're identifying with a sociopath a lot of the time,
yeah,
and it makes you question yourself. And just, you know, sort of put forwards what entertaining TV could really be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I'm definitely kind of going to wave the flag for Dexter, and as soon as I've seen Series 5, I'll talk a bit more about it.
Good stuff. It is good. There is a lot of good TV to go at the moment.
Yeah.
I think it's...
Which is just as well, because, you know, I've got to say, British TV every Christmas is proper shit this year. It is. I like to sit down and peruse the TV Radio Times when it comes out, the Christmas one, and see what's on.
Yeah.
And this year I just thought, what a load of dog shit.
Yeah.
So really it is a question of, you know, make sure you've got plenty of reading material and your own films to watch every Christmas, because TV ain't coming, or not catering at all, you know.
Well, it's a good job we're here to advise
you. Yeah, there you go. Plenty of time. Hopefully you've got a couple of days to stack up with. Yeah, what else came out was the Grindhouse Blu-ray, finally. Yeah.
The directors of Reservoir Dogs, Desperado, Pulp Fiction, From Dusk Till Dawn, Once Upon a Time in Mexico, Kill Bill, and Sin City. Tarantino and Rodriguez are back. Only this time, they're back to back with a double feature that'll tear you in two. First,
I got bit.
Bit by what?
If I told you, you probably wouldn't believe me.
Robert Rodriguez, Planet Terror.
Open that door, will you, baby?
Plus,
fair lady,
your chariot awaits.
Quentin Tarantino's Death Proof.
Do I frighten you? Is it my scar?
It's your car.
Two no holds barred feature length motion pictures for the price of one. Planet Terror and Death Proof. Only at the Grindhouse.
This is a bit of a weird one, this one, because it came out in the States, I think, maybe last month. And apparently it's come out over here, but only through HMV.
Really? Well, they've done that before, yeah. Where HMV have got exclusives.
And I think for maybe 2 or 3 months as well.
Okay.
Because if you go on Amazon, they're saying that, you know, Grindhouse comes out in January or something like that.
Right. So,
and it's been out here since October, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they had a good sort of scoop on that. But yet to pick it up,
yeah,
so
me
we can't
too.
Talk about
Although
it.
Although I am quite looking forward to this.
Yeah, this was another one where I was like, oh, the double dip.
Yeah.
You know, I bought both the sort of special editions of the independent movies that came out on DVD.
Yeah.
I even got the ones with the sort of bonus DVD footage on it, and that was in this sort of steel tin things. And it was like, do I really need to get it together as Grindhouse? But I think they've sold me on the fact of the extras.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's like making of the trailers, and there's like, you know, with Rob Zombie and Edgar Wright, and there's a couple of other bits and pieces on it that just make you think, okay, well, it's worth buying. So we will pick up, I'm sure, won't we?
I'm certainly planning to. Yeah, it's one I'm looking forward to, because it was, as individual films, it never felt right, I don't think, because it was designed for one project.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
and I think the Grindhouse versions of the films are better because they run at an hour. I think they both suffer a little bit when you see them in their entirety a little bit.
Yeah.
I think they were designed to be sort of shorter films.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, I absolutely agree with you on that. So so yeah, check it out. We don't know whether it's worth buying, but we assume it is. What else has come out is that Peeping Tom 50th anniversary. Now this has come out a few years ago on DVD. I've not picked this up on Blu-ray yet, because I think it pretty much is the same sort of edition, maybe with a few extra things, you know, from Marty talking about it.
Yeah.
But if you haven't seen Peeping Tom, I would thoroughly recommend kind of checking it out, and if you're gonna, why not on Blu-ray? You know, it's gonna look fantastic.
Of course.
Again, we've talked about this on our vlogs, on our site and everything, so check them out in terms of Peeping Tom. But yeah, I'd definitely recommend that. That should go on someone's Christmas stocking without a doubt.
Yeah, and I think it's a good accompaniment to Psycho as well.
Yeah.
Because of how close the two are related. And I've heard Thelma Schumacher talking about it recently.
She
was married to Michael Powell,
yeah.
The director. And it's such a shame that this film, which is now so critically kind of almost ruined the guy's career. It is a real shame, but you know, it's one thing, it's finally getting a bit of recognition that it deserves, and I think she puts a lot of it down to Scorsese and his championing of it, but
yeah.
I don't know, because I remember the film from when I was quite young as well. It always feels as though it's something that's been there and been...
Agree with you, yeah. I think certainly for our generation it's kind of been, you know, it's there and you should appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not to dig too far to find it, you know what I mean? But maybe when we just did, maybe it was, you know, I think Channel 4 did a really good sort of retrospective years ago.
Yeah.
And they did the sort of documentary as well and took it all very seriously and kind of broke it down and
everything. Yeah, of course.
I think that gave it a lot more of a sort of audience. But yeah, no, massive fan of Peeping Tom. Going back to originally what we talked about at the beginning of the podcast with Psycho, I was just thinking again, you know, on Psycho Blu-ray, they were talking about how it was unusual that Hitchcock basically just opened his film and didn't want critics to see it and opened it with this campaign which was like, shh, just don't tell anyone the ending.
Yeah.
And let people make up their own hype, and obviously it was really successful. You know, you've got to see that was done because he saw the critical panning of what happened to Michael Powell with Peeping Tom. And, you know, the similarities of those two films within sort of, you know, what was 8 months of release or something like that. He's got to have had an effect on how he thought he should kind of bring his movie out. So for a story that basically ends one person's career, makes someone even more of a household name.
Yeah.
I mean, I know obviously Hitchcock was from his other films, but really Psycho, I'm sure, was
cemented
the one.
In,
yeah,
I think.
Completely. Yeah. And what was interesting, again going back to Psycho as well, was how a little bit like it was done like The Mist, like Frank Darabont's Mist.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know. Well, you know, in terms of Psycho, he did have massive success with North by Northwest and could have, you know, and had signed a contract to do other films for the studio. He decided to use his own money and make a film with the people that were doing his TV show at the time, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and do it on a really small budget with a TV crew, and that's exactly what happened with The Mist, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, I like these directors that sort of think, you know, and I'll cut a few corners here and I'll make the film I want to make.
Yeah, it's uncompromising, and I think... If you can stick to it and keep your principles, like somebody like Frank Darabont does, then it will reap its rewards, because to have the notoriety enough so he can take on a project like The Walking Dead, despite the fact of him pretty much kind of going against grain with The Mist, and he took a lot of flack from the studios about certainly the ending of The Mist. Yeah. So here's a guy who kind of still does his own thing, but yet it pays off for him. So perhaps all the uncompromising story, or the compromising stories you hear about people working in Hollywood, where they think, "Well, I've got to do this to get along." Well, you know, take a look at Frank Darabont and what he does, and I think it should be a good lesson.
Absolutely, I agree with you. Yeah. But you've got to respect the fact that the guy also, you know, has done phenomenally well with accolades as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, of course.
He's got
his
Oscars for those two
King
adaptations. That gives you a certain amount.
You've got to be good at your job.
Yeah, that's...
Can't just be a stubborn fucker and get away. You've got to be good.
So I guess that brings us to the end of kind of what's come out and what's worth putting your hands in your pocket for.
Yeah.
And again, yeah, just to reiterate the whole thing with Double Dip. Also, bringing this nicely into our Xmas gift sort of banter, is various stuff that's sort of coming out in terms of box sets and stuff like that. Now, Back to the Future trilogy, have you managed to pick that up yet?
Yes, it's, well, sort of. It's on the Christmas list.
It's on the Christmas list, okay, right, yeah. Because there's three versions of this coming out, yeah.
Three versions, yeah. Okay.
You got your DVD box set of the three films.
Yeah.
Then you had another version, which was a tin.
Right.
And it had like various things in it, like posters and, you know, some lobby cards and some kind of bits and pieces like that, which has been, you know, floating around on eBay for like 70, 80 quid, sometimes 100. You know, and you have to ask yourself, you know, you know, I collect DVD box sets, so I ask myself this, you know, what is the worth of some of these things that come out, you know, and there's been some really good ones in the past. But, you know, with things sort of like tailing up to 100 quid, you've got to ask yourself, is it really worth that, you know? I suppose maybe some of the collectibilities, you know, maybe they will retain their value, who knows. But, and then there was also a third version as well, which came with a DeLorean.
Oh, right.
Which was like, you know, 100 and something quid.
Yeah.
But, you know, it looked a bit plasticky and tacky, this DeLorean, and if you'd got the sort of toy figure anyway, I don't see why you'd want to spend, like, you know, an extra 50, 60, 60 quid on a plastic DeLorean. So, you know, so the Back to the Future things, I got just a normal DVD box set.
Yeah.
And it is great to see them all polished up and that, you know, the movies of my childhood, without a doubt. You know, I'll probably upset a few people here, but you know, that trilogy to me was what Star Wars was to a lot of other people.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I totally bought into the whole Back to the Future thing and loved it. It was like a real big thing for me. So to go back and see these films, you know, all polished up and that, it really does remind you why you fell in love with them in the first place.
Yeah. So, and it's got a new documentary on.
Yeah, it's got a new... This is the thing. It's got a new documentary on, but it does tread such similar water to the documentary that was on the DVD box set.
Yeah.
You do ask yourself why.
Yeah.
You know, it has already been kind of said a million times before. They've just said it in 1080p.
Yeah.
And that's how they're justifying getting it to
you.
Yeah,
right.
And also on the back of the box, the hype up, there's never before seen ending... Which is really just a series of storyboards.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. You know what I mean? So you have to think about the marketing of this. And,
yeah.
You know, as a fan of the trilogy, I think it's worth a keep, and I'm glad I did. But, you know, I think, again, you have to be quite shrewd about these things and you know, is it really worth picking up this and that and the other, you know? I was debating whether or not to get this sort of Predator series on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, do I double dip? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But maybe when I see the quality, I think there's two versions in there, and you have to get the ultimate edition apparently, because that looks a lot better. So yeah, you know, these are decisions that you make with Blu-ray, whether you kind of go back and, you know, I mean, kind of purchase films that you already have.
Of course, and for me, it's the films that I really love. You know, your Nightmare on Elm Streets and Night of Living Dead, and the Argento, then those are the ones that I will purchase, and I will have on both DVD and Blu-ray.
Yeah.
But then, if we were talking about stuff like probably even Back to the Future, I would really be looking for new material on there in order to really get me to buy it again.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah. I mean, and this is the same with Alien.
Yeah.
Alien movies have just come out on Blu-ray as well. And again, there's a couple of versions of that. There's like just a box set, which I think retails for around 30, 40 quid.
Yeah.
Which, you know, to be fair, is more reasonable than the sort of the DVD box set was when it first came out.
Absolutely.
I remember that came out at around 100 quid.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I mean? And I bought it.
Yeah, cool.
It's one of the only box sets that I actually bought when it came out.
Yeah.
And I think it was down to sort of 30 quid within a matter of months.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's a bit of a shame. But that's another, you do get a hell of a lot for your money with that box set, though.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, I don't know if you get 100 quid's worth.
Yeah, this is it. So they bought it out again, and now it's 30, 40 quid, and you get all the stuff that was on the DVD, obviously 1080p looking nice and everything. And I think they've done something which is called Mother Mode.
Yeah.
Which is you sit and you can watch the movies and all the sort of documentaries or whatever are accessed at any time.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So, you know, that might be quite interesting to sort of do that with the sort of new editions. And then it came out also in a special edition box set with an alien egg that lights up. Now, again, this was going for like 120 quid when it first came out. I think Play were doing it for $89.99 for a couple of weeks, and then they just sold out completely.
Yeah.
So they're floating around for over 100 quid. And again, as much as it would look nice on your shelf, you have to think, you know, I could pick up the movies for 30 quid.
Exactly.
Is a light-up alien egg really worth 70 quid to me? You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, back in the day, we got things like the Hellraiser box set and the Phantasm Sphere, and they were all quite reasonably priced.
Yeah.
And those films hadn't been out before, really, with all extras on and stuff. So,
exactly, yeah.
You know, so it's quite interesting, really. But yeah, what's on your Christmas list, Ben?
My Christmas list is obviously Deep Red, that's just recently come out, Bay of Blood.
Yeah.
Well,
I think Deep Red comes out January.
January, is it? Yeah, they keep putting that back.
Yeah, I think from what I last saw, it was January the 3rd or something for Deep Red, and I think Bay of Blood came out yesterday.
Right.
So, yeah, so hopefully over the festive period we'll be able to watch Bay of Blood.
Yeah.
Which I'm really looking forward to.
I am very much.
See some Barbara and Blu-ray will be fantastic.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So this is what leads us up to the sort of new year, I guess.
Mm.
Ben and I have got some plans for Deranged for the new year, which we'll keep under wraps for now, but we're very excited about embarking on them. So to keep an eye out as well, because obviously it's not just podcasts, there'll be lots of sort of videos and trailers and bits and pieces like that as well. But yeah, hopefully we'll be be doing some really good stuff in the new year.
Yeah, and what I'm going to do, I know I haven't told you about this, but I'm going to set up a Twitter account as well.
Are you going to start tweeting?
I am, yeah, twatting.
Twatting, yeah, okay.
So at least if we do have any sort of small updates, then we can put them on there, and I think that'd be quite a useful way to get stuff out to people.
Yeah.
So I want you all to search for Deranged Pictures in the next week or so and start following us.
What, on Twitter?
Yeah, on Twitter, yeah.
Okay, cool. Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, why not?
That's it. And also, aren't we on iTunes now, Ben?
Yeah, we are on iTunes. I submitted our podcast to the good people at Apple, and they've actually put us on iTunes. So the good thing is, if you've got an iPhone or an iPod Touch or something like that, you should just be able to search for us and download us on the go. So that's good news. We're now mobile. And we actually joined the realms of the Beatles, who were put on iTunes the other day. So
that's right, yeah. Within the same week.
Yeah.
The Beatles and Deranged Pictures. Excellent. Well, it's been just a little bit off the cuff, this Christmas special. We're both beat up because it's been a right long week.
Yeah.
So forgive us if we sound a bit monotone. We'll be back all sprightly and excited in the new year because, as I said, we've got some really cool things coming up. Stay deranged. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. See you soon.